Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and we're starting the show today by taking a look at cameras and lenses, digital, film. Brian Carlos from the Camera Company, our guest. Camera Company located on Odana Road in Madison, and you might want to take a look at their website, cameracompany.com, because they've got lots of information on that website. But if you have a question, why not give us a call right now? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or in Madison, reach us at 263-1890. And don't forget, you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. And Brian's here to answer your questions. Brian, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show again.
I tell you what, you brought some little toys again to the show. I always look forward to what you're going to bring, and you've got a lens baby for us?
Yes, it's a very, very special little lens. Actually, a very, very simple little lens. It's basically two glass elements that are put into a little piece of accordion plastic that mounts right on the front of an SLR-type camera.
And you can turn the lens then? Or...
Yes. Well, now, to focus the lens, what we're going to do is pull it back and forth, which almost takes two hands, so it's a little difficult handling the rest of the camera when both of your hands are actually trying to focus the lens. And the lens has a very, very sharp spot right in the center, although by manipulating the lens, you can move where that sharp spot is around the frame, and the rest of it falls out of focus, very, very blurry, almost streaked it so out of focus.
Yeah, but you really get some cool images.
Yes, yes. It's one of my favorite fun new little toys. They've actually been around for a while, but we've only just started carrying them in town here, and they're just a lot of fun and just deceptively easy, a very, very big challenge to use.
Oh, all right. So, and that's the lens baby, and what are those run about?
There's three different models of it, and they sell for between $99 and $269.
Okay, so for somebody who's really into photography, this is a pretty cool...
This is it. This is just a wonderful, wonderful thing, because it takes something you're very certain about being able to do and makes it a whole challenge all over again. It's just a wonderful little puzzle to solve.
And you brought us something else as well, some new archival CDs. And these babies last a long time.
A long time. They have a 300-year shelf life. What they've done is they've been coated in 24-karat gold. So the price of these, actually, when you come into the store, varies occasionally because of the changes in the price of gold. But what it does is it makes them last a long, long time. So all those precious family images can be saved. You don't have to worry about your CDs degrading over the course of 10, 15 years.
So 300 years.
Yeah, longer than most of my pictures should last. But it'll be nice to know that some of them are going to still be around.
And, you know, you mentioned the price to me, and I thought, you know what? I was thinking I was going to say a lot of money, but these aren't too bad.
I think we're looking at about $40 for that stack of 25 CDs.
So if you really want something for 40 bucks, you can get how many again? 20?
It's 25 there.
25 there for 45 bucks or so.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal. Well, we already have callers online to visit with you, so let me give that number
again.
Yeah, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. And Jeff in La Crosse is online. Jeff, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm an amateur photographer, and I was just wondering what type of a camera I would look at in order to replace my old Sony 5-megapixel CyberShot camera after my old one melted when I left it in the car in Tucson.
Oops. Well, what do you want to do? What kind of pictures do you take?
I guess I would call myself a nature photographer. I love landscapes. I love to take... I also like to take, you know, close-ups of plants and animals, things like that. So that's kind of my focus. But I do like to dabble in, you know, just kind of a little bit of everything.
Okay, what do you think, Brian?
I think there's a couple of great options. There's also an object lesson here. Even in Wisconsin, let alone Arizona, don't leave your camera in the car for too long. I once owned a light meter that had a thermometer in it that would tell me how hot the trunk of my car got or the inside of the car got, and I was amazed at how hot it was.
Yeah.
It was actually in the trunk that I had left my camera.
Yeah.
Melted
yeah.
the digital imager completely.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there are a couple of really directions you could go, and lots and lots of really great options. That's a nice thing about today's market for cameras. I encourage anybody who's willing to do it, who really wants to take a lot of pictures, to use one of today's digital SLR cameras, the type of camera that has interchangeable lenses. Because you can easily put very long telephotos on there. They have fabulous, fabulous picture quality almost across the board. There are some that are better for some things than others, but they are just wonderful, wonderful cameras. And I would say, and they're extremely affordable now. And it's certainly the right time of year to be looking for one, because every company out there selling them has their best offers of the year out right now. But there are also some other compact digital cameras that are certainly very, very convenient to use that have exceptionally long zoom lenses on them that do make them kind of handy for nature photography and for landscapes. We used to have these little cameras with what we'd call a 3X zoom lens, a very short zoom lens, very convenient for taking pictures of your family and friends. And they're still by far our most popular cameras right now. But some have zoom lenses that are the equivalent of over a 400-millimeter telephoto lens built into something extremely or remarkably compact at the very least. Not quite pocketable, but very easy to handle. And the picture quality out of those is good, although it doesn't quite match what you get out of the SLR cameras.
Okay. So, brands? Any brands that are better than others? Or
well, in the SLRs in particular, they're all exceptionally good. That's been a very pleasant surprise. There's none out there that are clearly a lot better than others. If you used a film camera in the past, maybe an autofocus one, some of the lenses you have may actually work with current digital SLR cameras. So those are good things to look at.
So if you had a Nikon,
if you had a
SLR, you may be able to use that on a new
Nikon. Or Pentax is that way also. You could quite possibly use a 40-year-old Pentax lens on a brand new camera.
Jeff, you were going to ask something else.
Well, he actually answered my question. I was going to ask about the Nikon, I think it's DS40. Would that be a good replacement?
Oh, those D40s like are that? Wonderful cameras, yes. Yes, the Nikon D40 is one of my favorite out right now. It's actually a little lower resolution than some of them on the market, but it will actually take and have better picture quality than higher resolution cameras that are the compact digital kind.
Okay. So, and they run...
Actually, right now you can start out with an SLR for about $600.
Okay.
Used to be, just a year or two ago, we were looking at $1,000 just to even think about a camera like that. But now cameras and lenses for about $600 or so.
Does that help you out, Jeff?
It did very much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Brian Carlos from The Camera Company, our guest. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890 and email us at talk@wpr.org. And that's the way to get to us. What about lag time in the digital cameras? I think they've shortened that up considerably from some of the earlier ones that I purchased and paid a lot of money for.
Yes, across the board, that is tons better. That has been mine and I think everybody's biggest complaint about these cameras. There have been needed improvements in picture quality and things, and those have happened, but there was always a long delay between pushing the button to take the picture and having it actually take the picture. It was the longest second to second and a half of your life, because everything in the world seemed to be happening in front of you while you were waiting for that picture to be taken by the camera. And that has improved across the board, although there are some brands that are much, much better than others, and it's surprising how fast some can be. Fujifilm, for instance, we remember for their film, but they make remarkably good cameras and very, very fast ones, too.
Well, that's, I'm going to have to be updating again down the road here, and that's the main reason, actually.
I hate to, yes. Oh, I agree with you. I changed digital cameras a couple times for that very reason, just because I felt like I needed something that would work a little faster.
Well, let's go to Stephanie in Appleton, see what's on Stephanie's mind. Hi there. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I have a Nikon N80, and I seem to be having problems taking pictures in a dark environment, like indoors if it's darker or at night, and I was wondering what the problem was.
Go ahead.
Well, there could be a couple things that are happening. Are you trying to focus and push the button and it's not actually taking the picture?
It Exactly.
Okay, because what Nikon terms this is they have something called focus priority that's sort of a default of your camera. It won't actually take the picture until it knows it's locked into focus on something.
Okay.
And what's happening in the dark is it gets dim and there's a little less contrast out there, so the camera doesn't have anything to see. And so it won't take the picture. One thing you may need to do, even if you have very fast light-sensitive film in there, is flip the camera to manual focus and focus it yourself. Now, you may have a picture that's ever so slightly out of focus because maybe you can't quite see it as sharply as you'd like either, but you will be able to take pictures that way. And that is the most likely culprit for you not being able to take pictures in really dim light.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Diane in West Allis, on to you. Hi, Diane.
Hi there. I have a regular digital right now, but I really want to switch to a digital SLR. But is there a better one if I take a lot of, like, macro, I take a lot of, like, bugs and things?
Okay, well, in essence, it's not going to be the camera itself, although there are some that might be a little better for you than others. It's just when you buy the camera, keep in mind that you're going to want a second lens along with whatever may sort of be good for standard picture taking. You're going to want a macro lens with it.
Okay.
So those macros are unfortunately not inexpensive, but they're probably the very best lenses you could ever use.
Okay, so it's basically the lens that's separate.
Right.
And with the digital SLRs, do they do better in dark, you know, moving things in the dark and stuff? Or?
Well, certainly better than compact digital cameras, and this has been another one of the big bugaboos with digital cameras, is they don't perform extremely well in low light. Although this is another place where they've improved tremendously over the last couple of years. They still work off the same type of autofocus mechanism as that Nikon N80 we were talking about before, but they're a little bit more sensitive than they were before.
Okay.
As much to do with the software that's built into the cameras as the hardware.
Okay. Now, I know that I've seen, like, this image stabilizer now. Do all of the digital SLRs have that?
Well, there's a couple of different types that we're going to see in cameras like this. A few brands out there, Olympus, Sony, and Pentax, for instance, build the image stabilizing into the camera rather than into a lens, which is what Nikon and Canon do. So depending on which camera you end up looking at or buying, you'll need to know whether you need an image stabilizer, whether you have to shop for a lens that has a stabilizer like that.
Is one better than the other, lens versus in the camera?
Well, those who put it in their camera claim that that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Those who put it in the lens claim that that's a bit better.
Right.
The big advantage to having it in the camera, though, is that every lens you then use is an image-stabilized lens. And this can be very helpful. Although the thing to keep in mind is that the image stabilizer actually helps you steady the movement that's behind the camera. That's you holding the camera rather than slowing down anything that's happening in front of it.
Okay. Right.
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks very much for calling. Brian Carlos from the Camera Company, our guest today as we talk cameras, lenses, digital, and film with him. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Brian Carlos, our guest from the Camera Company. Glad to have him with us and certainly glad to have you listening in. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. I want to go back to the reason why a 6-megapixel Nikon SLR will give you a better picture than a compact. Why is that?
Well, the big reason is that the pixels themselves, we talk about these little photo sites, the pixels, and we count the number of them. We have 12-megapixel cameras and 6-megapixel and all sorts of things in between. But in the SLR-type camera, part of the reason the camera's bigger is the sensor and the pixels are bigger, nearly 3 times larger in general than they are in a compact digital camera. And that makes all the difference in the world.
So a 6-megapixel SLR is going to outperform maybe a 12-megapixel
quite easily.
Quite easily.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. I wanted to put in a plug for anybody who's thinking about stepping up to a digital SLR. I'm actually right now looking at our Nikon D50. We've had it for a couple of years. And, we've gone through a couple compact digital cameras, and they're frustrating. And when you have kids, there's a lag time, a start to shoot time, and a lag time, especially with the flash, that those typical compact digital cameras have that are extremely frustrating. And we miss so many pictures trying to get good shots of our kids, and they would always move or change their facial expression or whatever
right.
before we could actually get the picture. And but anyway, moving up to a digital SLR solved that problem. But it's just like Brian said earlier, they're just so far out above and beyond the compact cameras. And so I would encourage anybody who's even thinking about it to you know, seriously check them out, just simply because you could go through a couple digital cameras, you know, for the cost of one of these, and you probably would until you end up with a good camera. Mm. And also, it's all about the lens and all about getting light in there. And so that's my comment. I don't really have a question, but I'm just encouraging people to make that jump.
Well, Mark, thanks a lot for calling. And you pretty much agree with that, Brian?
Oh, yeah. But I like having both kinds of camera around because sometimes those compact digitals are so convenient. Even though I'm not much of a videographer, I do like the video function. My compact digital camera also doubles as a voice recorder, which not that I record myself and listen to it much, but I have a lot of fun little audio clips on there, too. So.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your call. And Jim in Ashland, I think, is next. So let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I got a question. I'll take my answer off here. Wasn't there a guy in Canada that invented a camera or lens? It was inexpensive, and it could take a picture of a postage stamp at a mile. Crystal clear, autofocus. Do you know who did that or anything about that type of camera? Thank you.
All right.
I am not too familiar with anything quite like that unless they hushed it up and put it in a spy satellite or something.
I have never heard of anything like
that. Because that kind of telephoto would be remarkable. One of the big problems would be to photograph anything at a mile away. There's just a total or a tremendous amount of atmospheric haze and problems that would be sort of in between you and whatever you wanted to photograph
that would sort of create problems.
But this gives me a good something to look for.
Yeah, it sure does. But we can't come up with an answer for you right now, Jim. Maybe somebody else has heard that story and knows about it and can call in. So keep listening. Marilyn in Washburn, it's your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I was calling to ask for advice about buying a camera.
Okay.
I had a Pentax, and I just loved it. It's the old film-type camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I lost it. And I'm wondering if you could advise me what to look for to try to get something like it. Or is there a place I may still find one?
Oh, was it a little...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was smaller. It was 145M Super.
Oh, I remember that camera. It was a very, very nice little camera.
Oh, I loved it.
There are still some film cameras out there, but the supplies, unfortunately, are dwindling because so many people are buying into the convenience of the digital cameras. But at the same time, you can very much get the convenience and really the ease of use you had out of that Pentax camera out of a lot of different compact digital cameras. Most of the average amount of zoom lenses on today's digital cameras are very similar to what you had with your Pentax. And the beauty of today's world is that little memory card that goes into these cameras, think of it as a piece of film, and it's reusable. You don't actually have to be involved with your computer at all to use a digital camera.
Well, I will certainly consider it. In fact, I do shop at your store when I get to Madison. But if one wanted to search out one of these older ones, any tips?
Boy, we actually still try to stock compact film cameras at our store. They're just they're sort of few and far between. Mm-hmm. We do have them occasionally. It's just they're usually on order and we're waiting for them to arrive.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You know, and your best bet might be is actually find a friend of the family, perhaps, or somebody you know who has a camera like that who doesn't use it any longer at all because they're using their digital camera.
Oh, I wonder if you went online to eBay or something, you might find something.
I bet you could. I'm sure you could on eBay.
That might well be a good place to go, Marilyn. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. James in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, James.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. It's been long debated. At the end of the day, at the top of both worlds, what would you say? Could you side-by-side digital versus film. I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
I actually like using both. I have recently gone back to taking a lot of pictures with film, but the interesting thing is that they end up being scanned and then printed and handled digitally. But I've sort of gone back to using a larger format film camera, one bigger than 35 millimeter. At the end of the day, though, one of the things that ends up happening is that I probably end up taking more digital pictures, and I think a lot of people do, is because so much of today's print processing is geared to making digital prints. And it's easier to get really good prints from a digital camera now than it is to get them from a film camera.
Okay.
Although it's still quite possible to do.
All right. Thanks, James. Jen in Mount Horeb, your turn. Hi, Jen.
Hi. I was wondering about a camera, a digital camera that could take pictures but also do kind of film everything, or I guess film, record everything, like a digital recorder.
Oh, you mean like a video recorder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one that shoots still pictures, but then you can put it into a sort of video mode.
Right.
Okay.
And what would be a good camera for that? I do take a lot of pictures with film and develop them myself, but I just had a baby, and I kind of like to have a video camera, but also be able to still take still pictures.
All right.
Ooh, some of today's compact digital cameras take remarkably good video. Actually, most of them take very good video, some a bit better than others, though. Something that some of the cameras that are made by what are traditionally electronics companies like Casio, some of their cameras are really good at still pictures, but they do an incredibly good video.
So and they would be long enough? Like, a lot of them I'm finding that cut you off too soon or something? Like
that, yes, that's where they're really going to shine, as a matter of fact. That's one of the neat things Casio does. The way it digitally encodes the video will let you take a lot of video, not just a little bit of video and a few pictures. That's sort of the beauty of it. Not only is the image quality good, but you get to shoot a lot of it.
Do you sell Casios in your store?
Yes, we do. Yes, we
do. Okay, great. Maybe I'll stop in a day.
Good.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Let's go to David in Janesville. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Question for you. I was looking at buying a telescope, and one of the cool things that it looks like you can do is you can hook a camera up to it and take pictures of things, you know, in outer space. But one of the things they said you need is a CCD camera, and I'm not quite sure what that is and how that relates to this topic about digital cameras.
Okay. The CCD is actually the type of sensor that is in many of these digital cameras. Stands for charge-coupled device. And there are some that are actually scientific cameras specifically designed for use with telescopes. If you wanted a you could quite possibly, though, get a camera that does double duty as a regular single-lens reflex-type camera and can then be mounted to your telescope. Canon cameras have actually been very, very popular for that, and there are people who actually specifically modify Canon cameras for that very use. Canon in particular are popular for that because they actually don't use a CCD chip in most of their cameras, but what is called a CMOS chip. It's a slightly different type of sensor that in practice, when we're just taking everyday pictures, doesn't make much of a difference if it has one or the other, but they actually operate at a slightly lower temperature than CCD chips do, which makes them good for very long exposures like people do when they hook them up to telescopes.
Oh.
Okay, so like I have a Rebel XT, which is a digital camera.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Can that be used for astronomy, or would I have to get something different?
No, that quite probably could.
Okay. All right, well, thanks. I appreciate
it. Just make sure when you buy your telescope that you buy the proper adapter along with the telescope for mounting the camera onto it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Rhoda in Rothschild, I believe, is next. Hi, Rhoda.
Hi there. Yes, Rothschild, up towards Wausau. I'm not the major photographer in our family, but I have my father's old German Zeiss Wurzlander.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what year it is. It is broken. It doesn't work right. I would love to find somebody who would love to have it, but I have no idea how much it's worth. How do I get an honest appraisal, and how do I get in contact with people who might be interested?
Mm-hmm. It's actually a very good question. There are a few reference guides out there that you could either pick up at a bookstore or perhaps even find at the library. There's the McBroom's Price Guide and the McCowan's Price Guide, which is actually published here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That are Yep. And even an older edition can, once you sort of nail down which model you've got, can help you decide if it does have any value to a collector.
Okay.
Unfortunately, if it's not functioning, it may not have much value.
Okay.
But it's always certainly worth a look.
Well, and I've got all these lenses and papers, and I remember years of posing for him. So and I don't have any children who are really interested in it at all. And
okay.
It's been sitting here in my closet for years. And
it's the thing I can kind of help you with also if you're ever in Madison, but I know you're from quite a ways away.
We're not that far.
Okay.
We're not that far. So if I brought it into you, you might have some more resources.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll make sure to bring it with me next time I'm down that way.
Good. Thanks, Rhoda. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bill in Jacksonport, you are next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thank you for calling.
I have a zoom lens. Goes from 35 to 500. And there was a time where you could buy an adapter and make a telescope out of that. Do you know anything about that stuff?
Probably used what was referred to as a T-mount. That you would take the camera mount off and then put some sort of eyepiece on it. Now, unfortunately,
right.
That eyepiece is probably specific to the very brand of lens you've got. It's not a just sort of generic or general purpose part.
Oh, okay. Well, I got it at a real good price at a used store. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a T100 Sony,
mm-hmm.
which I really like. I wish it had a viewfinder, though.
Remarkably few cameras have viewfinders any longer. I think
the sun and it's a problem.
Yes. Most cameras today have gotten a lot better about that. That's another one of the major improvements that's happened over time, but it's still a bit of a bugaboo with these cameras. And unfortunately, I think the people who design digital cameras, none of them need reading glasses yet.
Yeah, they're all too young.
Yep.
Most of the stuff on this one is on the screen, so... You don't have to look at little dials.
Understood. Good luck, Bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Let's go to Chicago and talk to Sam. Hi, Sam. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hi. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay, I have a Sony CyberShot 8 megapixel, and my question was, I find myself increasingly not using the flash, you know, if there's enough light sun outside. For some reason, it feels like the picture quality becomes better. There's more color. As opposed to using the flash, I don't know if that's common or, if you guys have any opinion about that, then I'll take the answer off the phone.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, a couple things could be happening. I think one of the biggest things anybody needs to know how to do with their compact digital camera is how to turn the flash on and off, because a lot of pictures are so much better without the flash. Something that is still a very big problem with all digital cameras, especially the compact ones, those built-in flashes have a very limited flash range. They're only good to a certain distance, and often it's as little as 6 feet away. So if the camera is expecting the flash to light up this whatever scene it's photographing, if you're taking a picture of something that's out of range of the flash, the colors often become very flat, very muted, and pictures often occasionally then start to look even grainy if they're really underexposed because there's not enough light there. So by turning that flash off, yes, you're probably telling your camera to use the room light or the ambient light and getting much better pictures for it. So it's not a big, big surprise.
Oh, not a big surprise. Thanks, Sam. Ian in La Crosse, we'll go to you. Hi, Ian.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, sure.
I've been shooting film for about 25 years, mainly 35 millimeter, and I've been getting into 4-inch by 5-inch large format for maybe the last 10. And I shoot mainly black and white, and I'm looking for a recommendation on good lab services where I can go for that. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
Wow, that is getting tougher and tougher to find, unfortunately, because as more and more labs are specializing in digital work, they're doing less and less film work. Although I know in town, for instance, we have Burn Photo Imaging that can still do the 4x5-inch processing and print from it. Other than that, I think it's a matter of finding a lot of mail-order labs that can do it, although I'm not familiar with the labs in Minneapolis, for instance, because I'm sure there are some there that can do this kind of work.
So Burn Photography or Burn Photo Labs in mm-hmm. Madison
yep.
is one.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Ian. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Have some open lines. We'll get you on fairly quickly. And Sarah in Wautoma, you are next. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a question. I gave my husband a Nikon D40 last year for Christmas.
Wonderful.
And I was wondering, he was looking at new lens and new flash for that because he would like to upgrade on it. And I didn't know if you had any recommendations for that.
Oh, they're actually both things are really good things to think about adding on with. Particularly a flash. People often don't think about it. They think that that small built-in flash is going to do the trick for everything. And they're rather small. They're actually in a very inconvenient place. The worst possible place you could have a flash is to have it look like it's coming right out of the lens most of the time. Nikon, for instance, makes a very small little flash, very convenient, but a really nice add-on to the D40 called the SB400. Sells for about $140. Very, very simple to use these days. Not a lot of dials to set as there used to be in the old days. Basically put it on your camera and turn it on. And at the camera company and other stores like us around the state, I know you could probably find about a dozen different good flashes. We have one in our ProMaster brand name that will actually let you bounce flash, where you actually take the flash head and tilt it up, and you'd be bouncing flash off the ceiling, let's say, which looks a lot more natural to see light coming from above than it does straight on. And those start around $140 also.
What brand was that?
That one is our ProMaster brand.
ProMaster.
Yeah.
And did it have a call number or anything on that?
Oh, the one in particular I was thinking of, the numbers are 7200, and then there's a few letters after that, but I've forgotten what they have. I think it's the EDF.
EDF, okay. And then also for the lens.
Lenses. The second lens, there's a huge, huge variety of choices available for that. Two in particular from Nikon have image stabilizers built into them, something we brought up earlier in the show. Very, very handy to have. And for a camera like the D40, that is, these are not terribly, terribly expensive. There's a 55 to 200 millimeter lens, which, to put that into real terms, is about a six times magnification on that camera, which may not seem huge when you think in telescope or binocular terms, but is really useful when you're taking pictures. And that image stabilizer is a nice add-on to that.
Yes. Is there anything with a little more lens to it or a little more?
Sure. For instance, we have stacks of these at our store because they're so popular. Nikon has a 70 to 300 millimeter zoom lens with an image stabilizer built into it. It's a little larger and heavier to carry around, but every bit is good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything else that I should be thinking of for him to add on, like filters or anything like that?
If you don't have what we call a circular polarizing filter, they're a very, very handy thing to have. What a polarizing filter does is it cuts out light that has been polarized by bouncing off of, like, water or glass. Because that's where a lot of glare in our pictures comes from. And the biggest example people always use is light bouncing off of water in the sky. So when you use that polarizing filter, a blue sky can become a deep blue sky.
Exactly. I've seen it done, and I was wondering. Anything recommended? Is there a certain brand that's better than the other, or are they just pretty typical?
There are some that are. There's such a huge variety of brands out there, it's hard to nail one down as sort of the best. There are a lot of very, very good ones, though. I guess the only thing to avoid would be the least expensive, because there are also some very cheaply made filters out there.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Thanks, Sarah, for calling. Appreciate it. Jenny in Milwaukee. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Larry. Say, I was just wanted to dovetail on what your guest was saying a little earlier. Here in Milwaukee, there's a network of great digital printers doing both pro and amateur level work, taking your digital file and making a silver halide print out of it on Fuji machines, the Arts cameras. That's where I'm working. We're doing tons and tons and tons of digital as well as film processing. And making prints for people all the way from wallet size all the way up to 40 by 60 inches. Digital is definitely coming of age, and people should not be afraid to take their materials and get larger prints made. The results can be quite astonishing.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Thanks, Jenny. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And you mentioned binoculars earlier, and I was in a golf tournament last summer and actually won a binoculars, Bushnell binocular, that also doubles as a camera.
Oh, I've seen those, yes.
And I thought, well, I'll try it out. So I tried it out this past weekend, and the problem with those is really you've got to be very steady and hold.
Yes.
You have to be very, very steady.
Yeah, I don't think something like that is going to work very effectively until they start building it with an image stabilizer built in. Canon, for instance, does make some binoculars that do have an image stabilizer built into them, which is great. If you have an ultra-magnification binocular, any little bit of movement can make you feel almost seasick looking through it.
Yeah.
So having that image stabilizer can be really nice, but for whatever reason, they haven't taken the jump to putting a camera into something like that yet.
No. Stephanie and Franklin, your turn. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, I have two questions. First, could you recommend a book for idiots about digital cameras other than idiot books? And second of all, I was raised to love black and white photography. And do you have any recommendations about starting in black and white photography? And I'll get off the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, first of all, there's a couple of books I've read recently, one called How Digital Cameras Work. That was actually a very, very nice little explanation on the way these cameras work and sort of how to use them. Interestingly enough, also, some of these nice little how-to books are coming out on DVD now. So instead of reading, you could potentially just watch this book. And I've seen a couple that are really nice. They're very nice little introductions. One by a company called Blue Crane Video, for instance, is, I found, really, really good.
And what was the other? I didn't write down the other question, and I've forgotten what the other question was. Oh, are you still there, Stephanie? No, we lost Stephanie.
Oh, getting started in black and white photography.
Oh, black
it's something
and white.
You
there
can
we go.
Actually get involved in either in film or in digital. Now, it's becoming, you can still get pretty good black and white processing done commercially, although it's becoming a little bit more scarce. Doing black and white printing digitally is an art form in and of itself, whether you have somebody print it for you or print it yourself, which to me I think is a wonderful, wonderful challenge, because it's to me as exciting as doing it in the darkroom used to be, and a whole lot neater than having to have an actual darkroom. But taking your color picture, because almost all these cameras shoot in color, and I'd encourage you to still shoot it in color, and then converting it into a black and white image is, again, just a great, great challenge.
Brian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me again.
Really appreciate it. Brian Carlos from the Camera Company, located on Odana Road in Madison. Go to their website. It's cameracompany.com, and you'll find out a whole lot more information. Brian, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Thanks very much. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Carlos of the Camera Company. Well, coming up, you know, Wisconsin's kind of a weird state. We have a lot of strange things going on, and Linda Godfrey of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, has recorded many of them in her new book, Strange Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about that coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.